You're listening to Gloria Minard Presents.
Henrietta Lacks, of course, is who we're talking about, and we'll say much more about her before we conclude this interview. Christina Bostic is the family's attorney, and of course, Ron Locks is a family member. All right, let's talk about the immortal HeLa cells. The cells have led to a number of breakthroughs in the study of herpes, leukemia, influenza, hemophilia, Parkinson's disease, certain types of genetic diagnoses, cancer, AIDS, cloning, the effects of radiation and toxic substances, and in vitro fertilization, just to name a few. Henrietta Lacks, in 2010, when Rebecca Skloot wrote the book, The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks, I interviewed her then. I knew nothing about Henrietta Lacks. Tell us, who was Henrietta Lacks and why is she so important to everything that you can think of scientifically that's been done?
Well, I'll let Ron sort of expand upon my initial answer, but, you know, Henrietta Lacks is being coded today as the mother of modern medicine, and appropriately so. Her cells have led to all of those advancements you previously named and are continuing to affect change in the medical community and save lives, make medicines, vaccines, help people have babies, all of those things. But who she was as a person at the end of the day is a mother who did everything she could to take care of her children. And in so doing, she was exploited as a woman, as a mother. She lived in a lot of fear about her health care. And it turns out, ironically so, that after being afraid to visit the doctor on and off for most of her life, the doctors did what she was afraid of. They mistreated her and exploited her body for their own gain.
And, of course, we're talking about an institution that many people are familiar with, and that's the Johns Hopkins Hospital in Baltimore. She lived in Virginia, and she moved from Virginia, went to Baltimore, suffered from cervical cancer. And at the time, what these medical institutions would do is harvest one's cells without your knowledge. Is that correct?
That's correct. And we're talking about a time during a time where these things were happening in other parts of the country. The Tuskegee syphilis trials were around the same time, so it isn't surprising necessarily, but the Lacks family was surprised down the road to learn the extent to which that exploitation had occurred.
Talk to us about the litigation. Why is there litigation at this point?
Well, there should have been litigation a long time ago, at least in 2010 when Rebecca Skloot's book was published. The family was then sort of made aware that something had gone awry, that their mother had been victimized or that her cells were being used without their permission. But at that time, the family, as I understand it, had spoken to several legal and other professionals about pursuing litigation. But they had been unsuccessful in moving forward, largely because many of those professionals couldn't get around or couldn't come up with a way to get around the fact that the statute of limitations was only 2 to 3 years after the discovery of the incident. Mm. So we're talking litigation that should have been filed in perhaps 2012 or 2013. And since then, no one has been able to really find a way to bring justice for the family. And I think that I've been able to do some creative lawyering to figure out how we can do that.
Mm-hmm. And I understand one of the explanations that Johns Hopkins has given about not giving families compensation is the fact that, well, if we start compensating one family, then the other families that we have taken cells from over time would have to compensate them as well. Is that a valid argument?
I don't that's certainly not the argument they've given me, although I think that is the reason why they haven't voluntarily compensated the Blacks family, because it would open the floodgates for them to be penalized by other families having sort of accepted liability in that way. But from where I stand, I think their only argument is that it's been too long, and that at the time they were not required to get consent forms to take sales from families. Today there are some mechanisms in place to make sure that something like this couldn't happen. But at the time, they feel as though they have been sort of absolved of any responsibility because there was no law mandating that they get her consent.
Mm-hmm. Ron, are you there?
Yes, I am, and thanks for having me.
And thank you for being my guest. Tell us something about Henrietta Lacks that the rest of us may not know.
Well, let me start off with my dad. You know, my dad was there when his mother was sick, and that's why it's so painful for him to talk about, because he's seen her every day coming from Johns Hopkins, and basically my granddad, David Lack, and my dad, and they used to talk because Henrietta would come home and she would be sick. Each day she'd come home from the I think it was radiation bars every day was putting up in her. And my dad seen her just deteriorate very quickly, and it really done something to him the way he can't talk about his mother right to this day. She really suffered from the treatment that Johns Hopkins was giving her.
The lawsuit that is being filed at this moment, and of course we have the lawyer on the phone as well, are all family members on the same page with this lawsuit? Do you know?
Well, we're coming together as a family. I mean, a lot of people, family members, that sold their rights to the book, and they're not able to speak out like me and my dad are. I mean, that's why you don't see him at any of them speaking, because he can't tell what he know about his mother.
Mm-hmm. When I spoke to the woman who wrote the book, Rebecca Skloot, The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks, she said she found out about Henrietta Lacks because her father had a type of cancer, and she was doing research, and then she found out about it. How many children did Henrietta Lacks have?
She had my father, Lawrence Black. He's the eldest. It was Elsie, Sonny, Deborah, and Abdul.
If there was something that you wanted to leave with our listeners about Henrietta Lacks, what would you like our listeners to take away from the story you're telling us?
Okay, now, like I said, referring back to my dad, and my dad made it very clear to me that before he'd leave here, he would like to... I'm documenting my dad. I'm videotaping him so people can know more about Henrietta and what she did and cooking and how she loved life. She really loved life. When she came to Baltimore and got with her cousins up here, they had fun before she got sick. And it wasn't too long after that she started deteriorating, but the woman that she was, she just enjoyed life.
Mm-hmm.
She really did. And she had my dad, since he was the eldest, he had to take care of his siblings, which which he did, you know, because of the way his mother was at the time.
All right, Ron Lacks, thank you so much. Christina Bostic, the attorney, back to you. The HBO movie, was the family involved in the making of this movie? And what about Oprah? Yeah. What do you think about it? Talk to us.
As I understand it, Oprah did reach out to the family. There were some other professionals who were representing some of the family members at that time who may have advised, especially Lawrence Lacks, the father of Ron Lacks, who was speaking to. advised them not to speak to Oprah. There was a publicist who got involved who demanded financial compensation from Oprah of an exorbitant amount. I think that all of those professional advice was misinformed. Oprah Winfrey had a direct contract with Rebecca Skloot in producing a movie based on her book. So she doesn't have any what we call privity of contract with the family necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
And she's done a lot to bring some light to the story. So we're not pursuing Oprah for any fees. This is really about compensation for the actual exploitation of Mrs. Lax's body and her the exploitation that disallows Black people of color and women from being appropriately or compensated at all regarding the use or the exploitation of their body or their intellectual property. I think in this case, it's both.
Ms. Okay. Let me elaborate on that. Now, the lawyers my dad had before, they told my dad not to conversate with Oprah. And me and my wife knew that was a mistake. I mean, who don't talk to Oprah?
Yes.
So they was giving him bad advice right there. My dad never had a chance to get in front of what was going on. I'm quite sure if my dad had talked to Oprah back then, we'd had a total different relationship with her right now.
Ms. Bostick, tell us what you'd like to see as the end game in this lawsuit.
Or at the conclusion of the litigation, what I hope to do is to set some precedent to make sure that this sort of exploitation, medical exploitation, cannot continue for any American citizen, that people do have to be compensated for their contributions, whether they be physical contributions or intellectual property contributions, and they certainly cannot be exploited after their death or demise to the benefit of the world without benefiting those who they cared most about.
All right, that was the voice of Christina Bostick, the attorney for the Lax family, and Ron Lax, Henrietta Lax's relative, talking to us about Henrietta Lax, the immortal Henrietta Lax. And, of course, Jonas Salk develops the world's first polio vaccine, but the life-saving advancement must be tested before being given to children, and to the first Gila distribution center created to produce trillions of cells and expose them to the virus. Christina Bostick and Ron Lax, thank you so much and all the best.
And thank you.
Thank you. Take care.
For more information about Gloria Minot Presents, go to GloriaMinotPresents, one word, .com.